It's time for Looking Skyward. I'm John Basile, talking with Dr. Regina Jorgensen, director of the Mariah Mitchell Observatory on Nantucket. Well, for the first time ever, astronomers think they may have detected light from a black hole collision. Can you tell us more about that?
So one wouldn't normally expect to see light emitted from a black hole merger. So this recent news is a little bit surprising. To explain this news, I'm just going to take a step back first and discuss how we actually detect black hole mergers in the first place. And you may recall about 5 years ago or so, we detected our first ever gravitational waves, which came from the merger of two black holes. And gravitational waves are ripples in space-time itself. And they're created anytime something with mass accelerates, or in other words, changes its speed. What's really cool is that gravitational waves are a completely different way of getting information about the universe. And this detection took about 50 years of work in order to build the detectors and won the Nobel Prize in Physics in 2017. And the reason for this is that while gravitational waves were actually predicted to exist by Einstein over 100 years ago, the actual effect is very, very small, and therefore it's really, really difficult to detect. Einstein himself never thought that it would be possible, in fact. And when I say small, I mean that it's akin to being able to detect a change in the length of something that's 2.5 miles long by less than 1/10,000th of the diameter of a proton. So that's really, really small. But astronomers are pretty clever, and after a lot of work, they built what's called an interferometer, which is a detector that takes advantage of laser light in order to detect and measure changes this tiny that would be caused by a passing gravitational wave. So last year, the detector measured a gravitational wave signal from the merger of two black holes about 7.5 billion light years away from us. And then when they went back to check archival data from a different optical sky survey, they found that there had been an optical flare of light from the same location as where the gravitational waves had come from. And since one normally wouldn't expect a black hole merger to produce light, they had to explain how this could have happened. And the scenario that they decided to be most likely is that the two black holes that merged to create the gravitational wave signal were actually orbiting inside the accretion disk, which is a massive disk in gas and dust, around a supermassive black hole at the center of a galaxy. And because these two smaller black holes merged while inside of this disk of gas and dust, the recoil from the merger, or the kick that happened, meant that this newly merged black hole was kicked out of this gas disk. And this interaction with the gas disk actually created a signal or flare in optical light. So we can't rule out some other possible explanations, but this claim is kind of the most likely. And an additional fun fact, this theory actually predicts that this newly merged and kicked out black hole will eventually fall back down due to gravity onto the accretion disk in a few years from now, and that will create another optical flaring signal that astronomers should be able to detect. So it's just a matter of time, either to detect this next signal in a couple years, or maybe even to see something similar happening elsewhere, that we'll soon be able to know if this is a likely explanation for these observations.
Now, early morning hours of July 5th, North America will experience a lunar eclipse. What should we be looking for in the sky?
Yeah, that's right. So what's coming up is it called a partial penumbral lunar eclipse, and it's going to take place on the night of the 4th of July, actually, and it will be visible from all of North America. But first of all, just to be clear, this is actually not going to be something very spectacular. In fact, it will take a really careful observing to actually notice anything. What's happening is that the sun and the earth and the moon will be aligned, but not quite perfectly, so that the moon will pass through what's called the penumbral shadow of the earth. And this penumbral shadow is sort of a less complete shadow. So there's still some light that's going to be hitting the moon. And so what we'll see is that the full moon will appear to darken just a bit during the eclipse. And because the moon is so bright, this dimming will be minor in comparison. So most people may not even notice it unless they're watching very carefully. The eclipse will begin on July 4th at about 11:07 p.m. Eastern and last until 1:52 a.m. and reach its maximum around 12:30 a.m. But even if you miss the eclipse or you don't notice much, it's still worth heading out to take a look at the sky towards the southeast horizon at nightfall, as you will see the full moon accompanied by the really bright and brilliant Jupiter and Saturn. And if you have access to a telescope or a nice pair of binoculars, you might even be able to make out the rings of Saturn or the moons of Jupiter, which is always a real treat.
Regina Jorgensen is the director of the Mariah Mitchell Observatory on Nantucket. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again in 2 weeks.
Thanks so much.